Well, thank you all for your patience. We have had a good time here, and happy Father's Day to all of our fathers, by the way. And I know this is a little unique way to say happy Father's Day, but I hope that you all have good plans for this afternoon. Treat your dads a little extra special today. And I don't know if you heard me say this before, but I really appreciated the way that Gary did those announcements. I think I'm just going to have him do the announcements every week. That was great. Let's turn in our Bibles to John 10. And we are now entering into a favorite passage among many because of the words that Jesus gives are so encouraging and so comforting to us. And we're only going to look at the first 10 verses today because I really want to spend some good time in this chapter. This chapter now represents Jesus' last public teaching that's included in John's gospel here in Jerusalem as he proclaims another couple of I am statements in this. One that is really famous and one that is tended to be overlooked. And we're going to be looking at that one today as well. And as we get into this and Jesus talks about himself being the shepherd, and being the door, it might seem a little disconnected from the passage that we were just in, John 9, where Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and he healed the man that was born blind and gave him sight again. And remember the religious leaders, their response to that. There was no joy. There was no excitement about what Jesus had done in this man's life. There was only condemnation and focus on legalities of the Sabbath and all of these things. And so Jesus pointed out that these had rejected him because they did not seek him. They could not hear the truth of the Father because they had rejected him. Well, in actuality, that this is a tie-in to what we're looking at today. As Jesus makes a contrast between the true and the false shepherds. And we're going to see that these religious leaders, even though the people looked to them as their shepherds, they were false shepherds. They were shepherds that had not done their job well. And that's another reason that the Messiah, that Jesus had to be sent to be the true shepherd. And, you know, this does tie in with a Father's Day theme, although I didn't necessarily plan for it to be this way. But the example that we have in our Good Shepherd is the example that dads, grandfathers, that we need to have for our families. And so we need to pay close attention to this example. Because it is the same example of love, dads, that we should have for our wives, for our kids, and be the leaders that we need to be. So Jesus is actually going to give here a stinging indictment for the Jewish leadership, but at the same time, a blessed proclamation of hope for Jesus' followers. And we're going to see here that Jesus is the only door to enter in order to experience abundant, eternal life. We're going to look at John 10, and for this, we're going to go back to verse 1. For this reading, let's start at verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to speak to our folks today. Thank you for this wonderful passage in which we see Jesus as our good shepherd and as the door to abundant life. Father, may we as fathers be encouraged and convicted by this picture. And may we be good examples of shepherds in our home as we follow the leadership of the ultimate, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Let us honor you with our time today. Give us understanding from your word. In Jesus' name that we pray, amen. All right, back to verse 1 here. I'm getting a little feedback, a little echo. Maybe it's not much. Hopefully it's not a problem for you all there as you're listening. I guess it's died down a little bit now. That's good. As we start on verse 1, we're going to see, although the whole theme of this chapter is the door to abundant life, or to the passage that we're looking at today, verses 1 through 10. We're going to be looking at the door to abundant life. Jesus gives us the picture here of a sheepfold. And we're going to see actually two pictures of sheepfolds. Sometimes we don't quite catch this. And there may actually be two different sheepfolds in view here. But let's look, first of all, at the true shepherd that is recognized by his sheep. And that true shepherd is the only one allowed through the door of this sheepfold. Let's look at verse 1. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you," again, when Jesus says that, he is pointing our attention to the fact that he is speaking truth, and he's really emphasizing that we need to pay attention. "I say this unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other, or in by another way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." And then it says at the beginning of verse 3, "To him the porter," or the gatekeeper, "openeth." And we see here that the true shepherd is the only one that's allowed through the door of this sheepfold. This is a very common, well-known illustration of sheep interacting with their shepherd. And again, I think Jesus is using probably a couple different sheep pen illustrations in this passage. So the first one would be one that was still well recognizable to his listeners. And that would have been a sheepfold that was a large independent enclosure where multiple families kept their sheep. D.A. Carson, a Bible scholar, points this out. And only authorized shepherds or members were allowed in by the under-shepherd or the gatekeeper allowed in. If you were a thief or a robber, a false shepherd trying to steal the sheep or trying to harm the sheep, you would not be able to get through the door. You would have to find another way in. And that's what Jesus is pointing here to, that he has authorization to be able to access his sheep, and he will do well by them. You know, there's some rich Old Testament passages that have the shepherding theme. And sometimes when we enjoy John 10, we forget we really ought to have these Old Testament passages in the background to remind us of how the listeners and the hearers have been prepared for Jesus' announcement of himself as the door and as the shepherd. Turn with me to Numbers 27, if you would. Numbers 27. And starting at verse 15, Moses himself predicted. That there would be one that would come in, as the shepherd and lead his people. And there were many leaders in the Old Testament times that fit this description, but the ultimate fulfillment is Jesus himself. It says, Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep, which have no shepherd. And God does not leave his people without a shepherd, without one to protect them, without one to take care of them. We will look more at a picture of what the shepherd does next week as we get more into this. But it's important today for us to see that the true shepherd alone, those that the sheep understand his voice, he's the only one that's allowed access to them. Anyone else is not a true shepherd. Let's continue on with the second part of verse 3. And this is an important aspect too. It says, And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth, or he brought out his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Here, first of all, our first point was that the true shepherd is the only one that's allowed through, has access to the sheep, legitimate access to the sheep. And the second aspect is that only the true shepherd, the sheep of the true shepherd, will respond to his voice and own voice. I actually looked at some YouTube videos, and you can do this as well. There's YouTube videos and videos online of shepherds calling their sheep. And I actually watched one where there was a group of tourists, and the shepherd had the tourists call to the sheep, and he even gave them the special name for the sheep flock, the flock of sheep that was his. And these folks went up and they called as loud as they could and stamped their feet and all kinds of different things. The sheep didn't even look up. I'm getting a little bit of feedback here. I hope that's not coming through with you all. But then in this video, the shepherd came up to the gate, and he called his sheep, and immediately their ears, they looked up, their ears perked up, and another few seconds they started walking over. They recognized the voice of their shepherd. I'm still getting some feedback here. I apologize for that. So, This plays out in a natural way with shepherds. Even today, the shepherds have names for their sheep and a specific call for their sheep that only those sheep will answer. This is really the basic and most fundamental aspect of shepherding. The sheep respond only to their shepherd's voice. The shepherd would be given access to the gate, therefore, would call for his sheep, and they would respond, and he would lead them out. And that's what it says there at the end of verse 3. The shepherd would be able, in this multifaceted sheepfold where multiple shepherds had their sheep, each shepherd would go in, would call for his sheep would come, he would lead his sheep right out of that sheepfold and into pasture. Verse 4, he brought out his own sheep, and he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they hear his voice. And then he points out the opposite of this, that a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. They will not recognize a stranger. They know not the voice of strangers. And even in the Old Testament, again, there were warnings of false shepherds that God would have to deal with. And look at verse 6 then. Isn't this interesting? It says, this parable, or really at this point we're talking about this figure of speech, because it's not that Jesus is giving a parable at this point as much as an illustration, a number of illustrations. Spake Jesus unto them, and they, his own audience, gave record and proved that they were not sheep of the shepherd. Because what does it say in verse 6? They understood not what things he spake or was saying to them. His very audience could not understand the voice of the shepherd. How tragic there in this. And it's more than just a testimony at this point at people that just aren't understanding or aren't getting the message, but it's literally another point that these folks have rejected their true shepherd. And that they do not recognize his voice. And God says that he would deal with, there were false shepherds probably in the midst, some of the leaders there as well that were supposed to have led the people, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, others. They were supposed to be the spiritual leaders of the people. And they were doing a miserable job of it. God warned them. Turn with me to Jeremiah 23 real quick. And let's see a couple more of these warnings. A sobering warning for pastors, well, really for shepherds, excuse me, even though the King James uses the word pastor, for shepherds that wouldn't do their job, that would reject the true shepherd of Psalm 23 and try to lead or just ignore their flock. Jeremiah 23, verses 1 through 4, woe be unto the pastors, and the pastor really has the understanding of shepherd, that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the shepherds that feed my flock, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. You've not taken care of them. You've had your own agenda. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them. And I will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. And who was the ultimate fulfillment of that? Was Jesus himself, as he's standing before them, represents the ultimate fulfillment of all of these Old Testament passages. So Jesus is the shepherd whose voice is recognized by his sheep. And folks, that says something else too to us today and to this audience, all those that are listening today. If you are a true sheep of the shepherd, of the shepherd's sheepfold, then you will love to hear his voice as well. Folks, if we don't love to read God's word, if we don't love to study it, if we don't love to hear it taught, if we don't have a love or passion to talk and disciple others in God's word, to hear as we hear the voice of the shepherd, if it means little to us, folks, we really need to examine ourselves. Are we really sheep of the shepherd? Or are we listening to a false shepherd that will lead us away to destroy us? And ultimately, that will be Satan himself and his leadership. Remember how Jesus said to the leaders, you are of your father, the devil. They serve another shepherd. That's a false shepherd, an evil shepherd that really, not a shepherd at all, but a wolf. They serve a wolf who wants to destroy the sheep. I pray that all of us today can give testimony that we follow the true shepherd. Well, Jesus changes illustrations here, and he refers to himself as a door now. The door to abundant life. The door to the sheepfold is the only access to abundant life. and the door is recognized by the sheep. So let's look at verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Now that, I don't know if you ever thought about that. We focus a lot of times on the fact that Jesus says that he's the good shepherd. But in the midst of this, he changes illustrations on us and refers to himself as the door. It's very strange. Why would Jesus call himself the door? Later on, he does say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. But I actually have a picture here, and I think this may be now he switched sheepfold illustrations. I have a picture here, and let's see if it will come up. If it does, nope, okay. Well, I'm just going to have to describe it. We won't worry about that right now. It was a picture of a stone sheepfold, and there was a gate, an opening, without a door, and in the door was the shepherd reclining. And as the sheep were there sleeping together, bunched up together, the shepherd was there at the door. He literally was the door. No one could go in. No sheep could get out without his having a say in it. He was there for protection, for security, for correction. If a sheep tried to stray, he literally was the door. And this was a common thing in shepherding at this time in the New Testament. I don't know so much today. In those larger sheep pens that I mentioned earlier, sometimes they would assign one of the shepherds from one of the flocks to be that door. But there would be other folds, and I think this may be more in view, where it was a private sheep fold that had been made, and there was one shepherd there as the door all the time that would protect the sheep. And Jesus says, I am the one. I am the door. No one is able to access the sheep. No one is able to be a sheep. And none of my sheep are able to come back out without my say-so. All those others, verse 8, all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear or listen to them. Again, this stinging indictment of God's leadership. Now, we have to be careful here as we think of all that went before him. Jesus, in a specific sense, is not referring to those faithful servants like Moses and Joshua and so many others who did shepherd his sheep in one sense. In a broader sense, though, it does, I think, have application that nobody could shepherd like the good shepherd, that Jesus was the ultimate fulfillment. But more specifically, there were those evil kings and these evil leaders, the Pharisees in particular, that's highlighted in our passages recently, that were not true shepherds, and he is referring to them. And isn't it interesting? Remember our passage from last week in the man who Jesus restored his sight. He heard the voice of his shepherd. He responded to the voice of his shepherd. But did you notice his dismay and almost disgust as he listened to those that he thought were his shepherds, his spiritual leadership? And they were cruel and unsympathetic and unmoved by his condition. And he said, remember what he said that when we talked about this last week? He said, this is a marvelous thing that you all can't see the truth of the one who gave me sight. And in that moment, he realized they were not his true shepherds. And he responded to the voice of his shepherd, as we saw at the end of that passage. All those except for Christ. Christ is the true door. Any other leader that does not come in by that door, that is not also a sheep, is a thief and a robber. And the sheep ultimately will not listen to them. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall experience salvation, forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. And we'll find more about this next week as Jesus is literally the fulfillment, ultimate fulfillment of Psalm 23. But verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. The door is also the entryway to abundant life. I so appreciate Bill's reading that passage from Ezekiel as well, and talking about the false shepherds and how God would deal with them eventually and send the true shepherd. Jesus is the door, and we have to enter through the door that is Jesus Christ. Then we will experience salvation, and he will be our shepherd, and he will take care of us, and he will protect us. All that Psalm 23 describes in how the blessings that his children receive, we all receive those blessings by going through the door that is Jesus. Folks, he's the only way. And we need to proclaim that again to a world that desperately needs to hear that. There are so many thieves, so many false shepherds, so many wicked leaders that the only reason they have come is to steal people from God's flock, to try and kill them, to destroy. They have only thoughts about their own selfishness and their own exaltation. They are not true shepherds. But Jesus has come that they might have abundant life. And certainly this is here a picture of eternal life. But it's even more than that. It is not just eternal life, life that lasts forever, but it is a full, satisfying life. It's a life that you won't want to miss out on. It is abundant. It is overflowing with joy and blessings. And folks, we just get a little taste of that abundant life. For the flock of Jesus Christ, we get just a small taste of that today. One day, Jesus will return, our shepherd will return, we will hear his voice, and we will experience the full meaning of what that is to have abundant life, to have a quality of life that far supersedes anything that we can imagine here on earth. And we have all of that when we put our faith in Jesus, our true shepherd, when we go in to the true door, the access to abundant life. So as we finish up this morning, there's really two questions. Have you gone through the door? Or are you following someone else that's a thief and a robber that will lead you ultimately, that's a follower of Satan, that will lead to destruction, eternal destruction? Are you a true sheep of the Good Shepherd? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation? For all of us that have, we need to continue to follow our Good Shepherd in a right way and to be obedient to him and to listen to his voice and to love his voice. Folks, as his sheep, we need to love his voice more and more every day. And it needs the God's word, the word of Jesus Christ to us, needs to be precious to us. Fathers in particular, here's application to you. Are we being a good example of Jesus' love and protection? Are we the door to our families? Do we protect? Do we provide security? Do we provide love that our families need? Or is there harshness? Is there selfishness? Fathers, follow the example of our good shepherd and be good shepherds in your home with your flock as well. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for working out these technical difficulties and that we're able to hear your word preached this morning. May we go from here. Lord, thank you for our fathers. Thank you for the gift of being a father. And what a privilege it is to rear young men in my home. Father, by your grace and your mercy, may these young men grow up to be good shepherds in their homes. And for all of us, fathers, may we continue to seek to be the right example of Jesus. We can only do that through your help, Lord, but help us to be the example of a loving shepherd of the door of protection to our families and in our leadership opportunities. And Father, help us all to follow and to love our shepherd's voice, to treasure it, and to love him more. And this, Lord, we ask through your strength and power. And we ask it in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.